This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
Started last week, if you were here last week, we started talking about uncomfortable Christianity and what that means to be uncomfortable. I don't know if God challenges us. I don't know if you could find it scripturally where there's this idea that following Christ is meant to be comfortable. I don't think it ever was. I think you look at the 12 disciples that followed Jesus, and there was never a moment of rest. When they said yes, it didn't all change. It became easy for them. It became very uncomfortable. And how many know this? I wrote this down this morning. This is the reality. Nothing grows in comfort. Nothing grows in comfort. Like, things only grow when you get uncomfortable. It's the stretching, it's the effort, it's the work that we sometimes put into things that grow us. And God, I believe this, I'll just say this over your life, God has great plans for you. And he has great plans for us. He has great plans for our church. He has great plans beyond our church. And I believe this, that God is going to use our church. But the only way I really believe that the best effective way that God will use us is when you and I are okay with being uncomfortable. We have to be willing to be okay with uncomfortable. And a lot of times we are here, you come every week, or a lot of times you serve God for years, and we risk the reality of kind of going through the norms of Christianity and the norms of life. And it could easily get lost on us, lost on who God is, lost on who he's created you to be, and all that he's done for you can easily get lost. All that he will do through you and do for you could easily get lost. There is a move of God in our world today. I don't think the move of God has actually ever stopped. I just wonder sometimes if we've lost tune to it. We've lost the reality to it. He's not doing it everywhere. I understand that. But because of his grace and his favor, I truly believe that God has decided to use Christian Life Center and use us and pour himself out on us. So I hope you know, I think myself, our team, we have a dream for this place. I hope you have a dream for this place. But let me encourage you with this. I wrote it down this way. Don't ever complain when you're walking in the answers of the prayers that you prayed. We do it a lot. We complain when God answers the prayers that we prayed. Some of you can remember, there's something in the water and there's an upspring of babies in our church, okay? When you're getting up at 3 a.m. to feed that little thing, remember that you're walking in the answers to your prayers, okay? Like when your business starts to grow and you're like, ugh, I have to go to work today. I got to deal with people today. They're driving me crazy. Remember the dream that you prayed. Can I say this to you as a pastor of our church? Remember the prayers that you prayed, the answers to your prayer. Don't complain about them. Like when the parking lot is full and you have to walk a little farther to get into the building. When the music's too loud. Or when the kids' check-in line is longer than you expected it. Or when you have to wait a little longer in the cafe for your latte to get made. Or hey, how about this one? When the seat you normally sit in is taken. Remember the answers to the prayers that you prayed. Be thankful that when you're walking in the answers to the prayers that you prayed, because I believe that he has great plans for us. Great plans for us. We are just walking in the middle of answered prayers. And I think we should be thankful for everything that God wants to do and has done. So uncomfortable Christianity is involved in that. And last week, if you were here, we talked about uncomfortable Christianity really begins with death to self. Like self can't be the paramount thing. It can't be the driving force. But this week, I want to talk about uncomfortable Christianity, and I want to talk to you about what I've simply called work it out. Work it out. Now, we have two kids, my wife and I. We have a 24-year-old and a 17-year-old. And after the first one, right, because you can see there's an age gap, we took a break. But with the same wife, I had another one, all right? So just so you know. And number two came along. And if you have multiple kids, right, like from the first one, everything alerts you. Every whimper, every cry. How many know this, right? If you have kids, every little thing gets you. But the next one, you don't care anymore. Like, you just don't care. Like, and I heard it gets worse the more kids you have, right? The less you care. The second one gets, you know, gets, you know, the first one, the second one kind of gets away with everything. They can do what they want. And it's really, the real truth of that is simply because you just have no more energy. You're done. And you're like, I don't care anymore. I have no energy to, even tell you to stop it, right? I don't care. Just do whatever you want. Like the first one, I had energy. We did everything with, like my first one was so, like it was an egg that could be broken. Like I literally was afraid to be alone with her for the first 5 years of her life, right? Like what happens if she cries? I don't know. So the second one came along, I don't care. It cries, here's an iPad, right? Enjoy it. Here's my iPhone. Like we go out and buy a separate phone just to train our kids. Because, and thank God for iPad parenting. I enjoy it, right? But did you ever experience this as a kid or use this as a parent? Like when their kids are, you know, there's some type of conflict and maybe your parents said it to you or maybe you as a parent have used it and you said to your kids, hey, work it out. Like just work it out. You need to just work this thing out. And if we're honest, sometimes we just want to, we don't want to deal with it. So that's the easiest thing we can say is, and by saying work it out, what we're really saying is leave me alone, all right? But we also, there's another side of that where we want them to learn how to work it out. Like we want them to learn when there's conflict among themselves, like we want to help you gain some tools that are going to help you on in life that you need to know. So we or your parents, we're actually trying to give you some skill sets, trying to give you some competencies that you're going to need later in life. And if I don't teach you now and I don't train you how to work it out, you can't rescue yourself out of every situation. So like our son now is a high schooler and our parenting has transitioned a lot to more of coaching and conversations, all right? Like he says to us, hey, mom and dad, I need you to talk to my teacher. And we're like, no, you're going to talk to your teacher because I will not talk to your boss one day, right? You're going to learn to work this out. And I want to propose to you that in uncomfortable Christianity, there are a lot of times where God will allow seasons in your life where you have to work it out, your faith. Where you have to work out your faith. If you want to grow your faith and you want to grow stronger in the Lord, there are some things that you have got to try to work out so that God can use you effectively in the next season you walk through. How many of you know that God sees your beginnings from the end? He sees it all. God is not confined by time, but God is outside of time. So God saw the day you were born, and he saw the day that you will die all at the same time. Because he doesn't see on a linear scale. He's outside of time. And because of that, he knows every day of your life. And that should be assurance to us. He knows that what you're going to need in this season and the next season ahead. So in the season that your previous walk through, he's going to allow some things that maybe you need to work out so that you're prepared for the next season he has for your life. Why? Because God wants to give you some tools in your tool belts so that you're ready for what is to come in your life. I hope you're tracking with me this morning. Because the reality is, I don't know if you've ever been in a season in your life when you don't have the answer. I just don't know. I just literally don't have the answer. Or maybe you've been in a place in your life where you're like, I don't know the solution to what I'm walking through. A place where it doesn't matter how much you have. It doesn't matter how many connections you have, how many resources you have. It doesn't matter your network or your net worth. Nothing can help resolve the issues that you're facing. And I would say that it's not that God is doing something to you, but God is wanting to do something through you. Through you. And all in attempt to grow your faith. Because hear me this morning, if you don't get any notes, if you take notes, I want you to grab this morning because it's important. Get this. I believe that God is in the business of growing your faith, and faith doesn't grow in the confines of comfort. Faith doesn't grow in the confines of comfort. Faith grows in the uncomfortable places. In fact, I would even go forward to say it grows in the painful places. Faith grows in the painful places. It grows in the places where we don't understand, and we ask those questions like, where is God at? Like, where we don't understand, why is God doing this to me? And we have to be brutally honest. If we were all brutally honest this morning, we've all been in those places in our lives where we don't even know what's happening right now. It may be somebody in this room right now where you're in that place like, why does this seem to be happening in my life? Why am I walking through these particular things? You can't see God. You don't feel God. You don't hear God. And the problem is this. Here's the problem. We assume that if God is good, life should be easy. If God is good, that's our default. Well, he's a good God. You hear it all the time. If you've been a Christian for many years, people, that's the question of the non-believers. Like, well, if God is good, then why did this happen? If God is good, shouldn't life be easy? Can I tell you this morning? God is good, and life is not always easy. But he's still good. God is always working things together for good, for those who love him, and are called according to his purpose. So in other words, God is able, I picture it this way, God is able to cook up a really great meal with your life. However, the recipe is often pain and blessing. The recipe sometimes is mountaintops and valleys. But God is able to take all those things, the good and the bad, mix them all together so that it can work it towards something good in your life. Something amazing in your life. And although it may not be good, but here's the reality. God did never said that life would be good. What he did say, though, is that life would work for your good. That he would work for your good. So in other words, God has a way of leveraging your painful moments. God has a way of leveraging your painful moments in life for your benefit. Not for his benefit, but for your benefit. But you and I have to be willing to cooperate with what he's doing. So the reality is this, it's up to you and I in the uncomfortable parts of Christianity to work it out. You and I have the decision to make on whether we will cooperate with God in the middle of pain, in the middle of confusion, or in the middle of our uncomfortability times. We have the opportunity, will we back up? Will we question him? Will we get bitter? Will we get angry and go, where is God? Or we can lean in and go, God, what are you doing in me right now? What are you trying to teach me right now? And I want to propose to you this morning that God is always in the business of growing your faith. Romans 12 reminds us, teaches us that we all have, Paul called it this way, a measure of faith. Now, some of you in the room have a measure of faith that feels like an ounce. Some of you have a measure of faith that feels like a whole cup. But I would say to you, it doesn't matter how big or small you think your faith is, God has measured all of us some faith, all of us. And he is in the business of taking that measure and growing your faith and stretching your faith. It's like, kind of like if you're a gym rat, you like the gym, it's like they've told me physically that it's like a muscle in the gym. Your muscles don't grow unless they've been put under pressure. So you put your muscles under pressure and then they grow. And I believe this, God grows you and I best under pressure. When things aren't easy, when things are difficult. So let me say, what is faith? Hebrews reminds us, very familiar scripture, it says, faith, I love the King James, the way they say it, it says, it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. It's evidence. I want you to track with me for it. So it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So what it tells me is that faith isn't a feeling. Faith isn't the perfect worship songs that gives you all those nice chills that you feel down your spine. Faith isn't an emotion. I think faith can produce an emotion, but it is not an emotion. Faith is evidence. So in other words, faith is tangible. It's visible. It's observable. It's those types of stuff. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I don't pretend to be a lawyer, but I do know that in the court of law, you have to bring evidence. Like, you can't come to the judge and the jury and say, I just feel like they did something wrong. Thank God, right? Right? Someone can't be convicted of a crime because you felt something. There has to be evidence that is produced. So in the kingdom, in the court of the kingdom of God, for there to be faith, there has to be evidence. So let me give you a practical example, right? All of you in this room exercised faith just a few moments ago. All of you in this room exercised faith when I said to you, you may be seated. You may sit down. You made the assumption that the church was responsible enough to get the chairs that met code, that would hold you. I almost said something else. But hold you. That it was able to hold your body when you sat down. And I don't, in fact, I would go and look, nobody in this room, when we said that today, went, looked at the chair first, inspected it, said, all right, we're going to go for it. Let's give it a try. See what happens. You know, I had a really big breakfast this morning. Let's see what happens. How about I'll just go slow and see what happens? No, we all sat down. Why? Because we had faith that the chair would hold us. And the evidence was we sat down. We just simply sat down. So my faith isn't a feeling. My faith is tangible. It's evidence. In fact, I wrote it this way. My faith acts in spite of evidence that I can see. So in other words, I go on what God has said, not what I can see. What does God say? Not what I can see. I may be in the middle of a situation that is plaguing me with fear, but faith says, no. I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. That is faith. So we can have peace in the middle of our chaos. Things happen around us because that's the evidence that I have, that I don't have a spirit of fear. So when we walk through difficult times, people might look at you and they say, hey, listen, I know what you're walking through. I know the season and the difficult things that you're walking through, but you seem to have joy in your heart in the midst of it. And you can look at them and say, I don't understand it either, but it's the evidence of my faith. I believe that God has me. And I submit to you this morning that God wants to grow that type of faith inside of us. He wants there to be more and more and more evidence in your life, more and more and more of the days that you are alive. And the faith will grow in uncomfortable places. Your faith is going to grow in the uncomfortable places. So I want to talk to you real quick this morning about a lady in the Bible whose her name, maybe you've heard her name before, familiar character, but her name was Hannah. And she had her faith grow in a very uncomfortable situation. So I want to give you three perspectives, three shifts, three changes in your thoughts as it relates to faith. Because how you see, or in fact, I wrote down this way, get this. I believe this. How you see a thing, literally how you see a thing is how you interpret a thing that determines how you live something. So get that this morning. How you see something is how you interpret a thing will determine how you live something. And you need to get that this morning as we give you these three perspectives. Because I believe this, if the lens of your life is foggy, your whole life is going to be foggy. So three ways to look at faith in a different perspective. 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting at verse 2, get this. He says, starts this way. He had two wives, talking about Ephraimite. One was called Hannah and the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But get verse 5. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. She was unable to have kids. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Now, how many of you know that you can handle something for a minute, but year after year? So year after year this happened. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Now, I don't know about you. know about any of you in the room, but I have to be pretty distressed not to eat, okay? But she wouldn't eat. So here's the picture. Hannah's desiring to have a child and can't have one. And not only that, but she has this sister wife thing happening, right? And she's provoking and irritating her to the point that she is weeping and she can't even eat. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had those moments. I've walked through those seasons of my life where I'm so distraught by something that I had no other option but to turn to God. And I don't know if you've ever said this, but I'm ashamed to say it as a pastor because I've been there before where I've had those moments where I walk through something and I've said, well, we've done everything else we can. I guess we pray now. How many know it's the opposite? You pray first. You pray first and then do everything else. How many know that we will face things in life that you and I cannot solve on our own? And those things that we face, and there will be a gap in your life or a deficit in your life. This gap, this deficit between who you are and where you know God wants you to go. Between who you are and what you're believing God to do. And I want to present to you today something, the first shift that we have in our lives, the first shift that we need to make, the first change in a perspective that we need to make is this one simple truth. Here it is. Number one, the deficit is faith's opportunity. The deficit in your life is faith's opportunity. A lot of times, right, we have this gap in our lives between this is where my life is and this is where I'm believing God for it to be. This is where my marriage is, but this is where I believe God should take my marriage. This is where my children are, and this is where I believe God should take my children. This is where my profession is, but this is where I'm believing God to take me in my profession. So in other words, whatever it is for you, you fill in the gap. That thing that you can't solve, it may be financial, it may be physical, it may be relational, but we all have these gaps in our lives. We all have these deficits in our lives between where you are now and what you are believing God to do. And that gap, and in that gap, and in that deficit, we get the choice. We can see it as God doing something to us, like God is trying to get me. God is trying to defeat me. You can see it that way, or you can see that gap or that deficit as an opportunity where God is trying to grow you, and God is trying to grow us. And I would suggest that in that gap in your life isn't God trying to beat you down, but it's God trying to create an opportunity for you, right? I'm not saying that God sends bad things into your life. I don't believe that. I'm just saying I do believe that God works all things for good in your life. And if you will allow him and you will cooperate with him, he will use the gap in your life as an opportunity for your faith to grow. Maybe we shouldn't waste the painful moments in our lives sitting around saying, where is God? What is God doing? Why is he absent and getting bitter and angry? Rather, what if we just rose up and said, you know what? No. If the devil's going to come at me, he's going to be sorry he did, because I'm going to grow my faith in my life to a higher level. Like what if we just said, you know what, I'm going to learn to know Jesus more. I'm going to learn to love Jesus deeper. I'm just committed to have a greater faith on the other side of my circumstance than I did when I came into this circumstance. When our second child, Braden, was born, I was so happy to find out that he was a boy. He was all things boy. Like his first word was car. It was awesome. He would sit and just stare while I'd watch NASCAR. He'd just stare at the cars going in a circle, and he would just point, car. And I was like, he's mine. His sister was all things prim and proper, girly, singing, dancing, and that was great, but I needed something different in my life, okay? And he was that. He was sports, he was boy, he was trucks, and when Kim was pregnant with him, like, it was different. Like the first child, you know, you hear that ultrasound for the first time and your eyes light up and the heartbeat, and you're just like, oh, all these crazy things, right? You remember the first child, some of you had kids before, like you sterilized the first pacifier, like every time it dropped. The second kid, you just wiped it on your jeans and put it back in their mouth, right? It just changes. And that's how it kind of was. So when your first child, you want to know everything, the second or third or fourth child, you forget where you left them, all right? So this is the way it works. But our second child, so Braden was born, but he was born 4 weeks early. So he was a little bit premature, and it was a little scary with everything they would tell us. Like, well, we want to make sure this, and at 4 weeks is the critical time of lung development and liver development, some of these vital organs and their development. And he was born early, and he had some of those lung issues, development issues, jaundice issues, all those things. And so we had concerns. And so the first couple of weeks of his life, Kim will tell you, we literally every day, even when we came home, had to go to the hospital every day. Same room every day. We're packing up this newborn, taking him to the hospital so they could run these tests on him. And I remember like the first couple of days we were in there and hearing the doctors and the nurses say, looking at the numbers, and they would simply say those words, no change. Like he's still the same. And those moments, the only way to express them for me is they were just waves of anxiousness that come over you. And I wish I could say that it was in those times that and in those rooms that I would declare, I'm a man of faith. You know, God's going to heal him. But if I was being honest, I would probably more equate I was a man of fear. I was a man of fear. My mind went to all the negative things, the worst case scenarios. But we were determined not to lose the joy of this gift that's been given to us. And we were determined every day to lay our hands on this new baby. And at that moment, church, I wasn't a pastor, I was a dad. And I was a dad that had a gap in my life, a deficit in my life. And I could either complain and I could shake my fist at God, but I was determined that God could do something out of this. And so we prayed, this is our son, this is our gift, and God, you have plans for him and all these wonderful things. And honestly, all these years later, he is healthy, he has a bad attitude, he has eyes that roll, and now we pray, God, you know, I mean, anyway, no, we love him. We kind of thank you for answering our prayers, God. You're good, you know. But we learned in those moments. We all learned. If you learn how to walk through the gap and the deficits, you learn to pivot, and you learn to trust God. You learn to seek God when there's those deficits in your life. We learn to lean into God when we embrace the deficit in our lives. And when we do, it develops you and I for the next deficit that may come. And I'm just going to be honest, if you live life long enough, how many know you're going to have more than one deficit in your life? You're going to have more than one gap in your life. And listen, I'm not saying that God did that. I'm saying that God used that to grow my faith. And he grows things inside of us that were not there before. We have a lot of gaps of things that are not there before. And I'm just telling you, you and I, don't waste the deficit in your life. It's not God doing something to get you. It's God giving you the opportunity to grow a muscle of faith that you will need down the road. But we have to be willing to embrace the moments and the gaps and the deficits that happen in our life. Let me say it this way. It'll be on the screen. God answers your prayers within the prayer. God answers your prayers within the prayer. There are always prayers within your prayer. Let me give you an example. Some of you might say or have said at some point, God, I want you to use me. That's your prayer. God, I want you to do something great in my life. God, I want you to grow me. And I want all these things. And then God says, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that in your life. But in order to do that, I've got to develop some new things in your life. And so to develop some new things in your life, you may have to walk through some stretching. You may have to walk through some uncomfortability. And here's what happens. As soon as that uncomfortable times come, as soon as the stretching comes, guess what? The prayer changes. God, remove the struggle. Take the stretching from me. And God's like, wait, time out. Like 2 weeks ago, you were asking me to use you. You were asking me to grow you. Which person am I talking to today? There's like two of you. And God's like, I thought you wanted to grow. I thought you wanted to be used. And in order to do that, I know what's coming in the years to follow in your life. And I've got to build some things in you right now. So the deficit is the opportunity to grow. It's a whole different perspective that we doesn't preach real well in the American church today. The Bible goes on to say it this way, that Hannah goes up to the temple and she prays. And check this out. So verse 12, it says, as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk. Now, have you ever been in that place before? Not drunk. I'm not asking if you've been drunk before, but have you ever been in that place of such anguish that you literally can't get the words out? You literally can't say it. And this is where she was. And she goes on and says, he said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine," right? I'm saying that to some of you in the room today. "Not so, my Lord." Hannah replied, "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." And Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him." And she said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. What an amazing story. If the deficit in your life is the opportunity for faith to grow, let me give you number two. I believe this for us. The word is faith's foundation. The word is faith's foundation. The word of God, a word from God, is the foundation that will build our faith. I want you to notice that Hannah got a word from the prophet. "Hey, you're going to go in peace. God's going to grant you." She gets this word from God, and it was immediately, physiologically, immediately she changed. She's no longer crying. She's no longer downcast. And guess what? She's hungry. She gets a word from the Lord, and it immediately changed her life. Sometimes when you are overwhelmed, I get it. Like, food is the last thing you want. People are the last thing you want. Certain things are the last thing you want. But literally, her physical situation changed the moment she received a word. I want to unpack for you just for a second, because whenever we are in church, especially if you're new to church and this is all new to you, and you might hear someone say, "Well, God gave me a word." And you're like, "Well, what does that mean? Is this like Wheel of Fortune at church? You know, like two vowels and a consonant? You know, what does that mean? Like, what do you mean like a word? Like animal? Is that a word? You know, what's the word?" And in the Greek, in the New Testament, they use the word for logos to describe word. Logos, which literally means word, or in other words, it means God. It means Jesus. But then there's this other word in the Bible that we call a rhema word, which a rhema word is a word within a word. So I'll give you an example. It's pretty much like I'm preaching on Sundays. I'm preaching the word of God every week. And hundreds of you in the room, hundreds of people are receiving it all, but they're all receiving it in hundreds of different ways. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Like, it's a word within a word. And I'm preaching the word of God, and you're listening, and you walk away, and you say things like, you take one section or one piece or one word, and you say, "I needed to hear that today." You take one section, one piece, and you go, "Well, that was for me today." I've talked to some of you, and I'm like, and you're like, "Oh, I heard you say this." And I'm like, "I don't think I said that." But that's what you heard. Some of you are really good note takers. I love to see you take notes, and I look at your notes and go, "I don't remember saying that." Sometimes that's how a rhema word works. Like, God gives you a word from something that you've said or something that you've read in his word. That's a rhema word. That's a word that is in season. It's a word that you needed at that moment. It's a word that's within a word. I hope you're tracking with me. So Hannah got a word that was in season. This prophet says to her, "May the God of Israel grant you what you request." And immediately that word changed her. Look what she says afterwards, because she gives this response, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." She came immediately in agreement with that word. And this is critically important for our church today. For your faith to come alive, for your faith to grow, you have to come in agreement with God's word. You have to come to agree with God. So many of us are in agreement with so many other things, but we aren't in agreement with God's word. So in other words, a lot of us are in agreement with the lies of the enemy. A lot of us are in agreement with the lies that people have spoken over your life. Some of us are in agreement with all the negativity that surrounds us. And I want to challenge you to shift your faith into coming in agreement with God's word and the rhema word that God wants to give to you in that moment. Because that word that God wants to give you, the word that changed Hannah in a second, that physically changed her, is the same thing that God wants to do in your life. When you're in deficit and you're in gap, it's the word of God that has the ability and the power to change you in a moment. But you have to come in an agreement with God's word, because the word of God is where we put our footing on. It's where we put our foundation on. It's the foundation of the faith that God is wanting to grow inside of us. It's the word of God. And we put our footing we don't put our footing into how we feel, because how many know feelings and emotions come and go? We don't put our foundation and our footing on what is culturally relevant or acceptable, because the culture is ever changing and rapidly changing. But the word of God remains forever. Isaiah reminds us, right? The grass will wither and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. Endures forever. It is the word of God that will not return void to your life. It will accomplish what it set out to do in your life, and you can put your hope and you can claim it, you can take a hold of it, and you can anchor yourself to it. So when you get a word of God, it's not to give you some cute feeling like, oh, that's really nice. I'm out here all the time. You know, God speaks to me like, well, that was really encouraging. Thank you. Well, that was really nice. It's not like God wants to give you some cute word to make you feel good as you leave. It is, no, the word of God is God informing you of what he's about to do in your life, where he's about to take you, how he's going to use you. And I don't know if it will be a year for you. I don't know if it'll be next week for you. I don't know if it'll be a month for you. But hear me this morning. If God said it, you can be assured that it will come to pass in your life. It's important. That is what we anchor our faith to. And so many of us get so disappointed because we've anchored our faith to things other than the word of God. We anchor to our feelings. And if we didn't live up to our feelings, we're disappointed. We anchor it to our relationships and that those relationships didn't work out or it became toxic, or we anchor it to something that someone said that didn't come to pass and now we're defeated, or we anchor it to some other promise instead of anchoring our faith to the word of God that never fails and never returns void. The word is faith's foundation. And get this morning. Hannah got a word and immediately it changed everything. But you need to get this. She didn't get up pregnant. Like she didn't get this word and then immediately stood up and boom, 9 months, here she is, right? She didn't get up and she didn't stand up and she was pregnant. But hear me, the Bible says she still left no longer downcast and worshiping, even though she hadn't seen the promise yet. So Hannah was worshiping based on the word, not whether she was pregnant or not. She was worshiping on the word. I wrote down this way, faith says I'm going to worship on the word. Going to worship on the word. I'm not going to worship based on how I feel or how my things are going in my life. I may be feeling fear right now, but I haven't been given that spirit of fear. I've been given this power. I've been given love, and I've been given a sound mind, and that's the word. The doctor may have given you a bad diagnosis, but I serve a God who heals all my diseases, so I can worship on that word. So we come into worship. Maybe you walked into this room and we can come in here with fear and tears and distraught and chaos in our lives, but we can still say, I trust in God because he hears and he answers my prayers. And that's the word, because we have a word and that word overcomes everything I face. The word is faith's foundation. So what happens? Let's finish up. She has a baby. We know she has this baby. She skips a year, not going to the temple. His name is Samuel. She weans him off, and after a year, she goes to the temple again. And I want you to see what happens here. Verse 26, and she said to him, talking to Eli, pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now, get this, so now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. I want you to get this. I think this last thought, this last perspective for you is simply this. The sacrifice, number three, the sacrifice is faith's test. The sacrifice is faith's test. The test of Hannah, the test of her faith, wasn't Could she pray and believe for a child? That was easy. Get this morning. The test of Hannah's faith is once God answered her prayer, once God answered the prayer and it was in her hands, could she keep her hands open? Once she had it, this was the promise. It's in my hands. Now could she keep her hands open? Here's the thing about how God works. You come into this world with nothing in your hands. You have nothing. We all came into this world born empty-handed. And I would just submit to you today, and you could try to disagree with me, but I believe that anything that's in your hands, God put it there. Anything that's in your hands, God put it there. And that is a blessing. But hear me, what can stunt our growth in faith is when we are unwilling to give the blessing of God back to him. It could stunt your growth of faith when God blesses you and you're not willing to give it back to him so that we can receive even a greater blessing that he has for you. We are all humans, and with our human nature, many times when God blesses us, we go like this. We go from this to this. In the moments of chaos, in the moments of the gap, in the moments of deficit, we're always like this, right? Oh, I need you, God. But many times when God blesses, he gets back to us, it changes. And it goes to this. We clench it together. And you're like, I got it now. I'm going to hold on to it. It's mine. I'm keeping it. And God goes, I can't bless clenched fists. I can't bless clenched fists, but I can bless open hands. I can bless open hands. Hannah and Samuel wasn't just about Hannah and Samuel. We miss it if that's the case. Hannah prayed for a baby, and having Samuel wasn't about her having a baby. You have to see the bigger picture. Her having Samuel, it was about God blessing a nation. It was Samuel that would become a prophet. It was Samuel that would anoint the kings of Israel. It was Samuel that would literally confront the kings of Israel. Hannah in that moment thought it was about her, right? She was tied up for, like, this is about me in my little world, and it was about me wanting to be the mother of a child. But how many know God was doing something so much bigger in his own plans? God was doing so much bigger in his own schemes. And I think God was wanting to bless a nation. And her returning Samuel back to the Lord wasn't just about returning Samuel back to the Lord, because here's the deal. According to history, Hannah would go on to have 5 more children. God wasn't just giving her a baby. That's the easy thing. God was opening her womb. That's huge. God was doing something so much larger that Hannah could not see it in the moment. She couldn't see it until hindsight. And how many know that's the thing about faith? Often we don't see until hindsight. We don't see all the things that God was doing, all the things that God was orchestrating until afterwards, until we look back. And I just want to propose to you that if you have a gap in your life, if you have a deficit in your life, God is trying to get you to work it out. He's trying to build you to a greater faith than what you currently have. It's not about what's just happening to you right now. It's not about the deficit and the gap in your life right now. You can't see it. You don't know it. But hear me, there's something. God is up to something bigger. He's up to something so much bigger. He's always up to something greater. And that is in your life. And the battle you're facing, hear me, whatever you're walking through, could be for the next generation. Our faith and growth is about what's next in your life. Your faith and your growth is about the next step. It doesn't end. Your faith and your growth is about your family. It's about your church. It's about the people around you. And who knows, your faith and your growth is about the next thing that God wants to do in you. The reality for us in this room is that, are you willing, in the deficit, in the gap, are you willing to recognize that this is an opportunity for God to work something greater in your life? Or are you just saying, listen, where are you, God? I don't want to lean into you anymore. I'm tired of the gap. I'm tired of the deficit. And I'm done. Or are you willing to lean into it and say, listen, it's a gap. It's uncomfortable. but I know that God's got something greater for me. Something greater in my life. Are you willing to lean into the deficit? Are you willing to recognize that God is working something greater in your life? And no matter what God puts in your hands, are you willing to leave them open? Are you willing to have open hands? Because hear me this morning, the test of your faith isn't can you believe for great things. Honestly, I think that's kind of easy. Believing God for great things really isn't that hard. I believe the test of your faith is when God gives you the answer. Can you leave your hands open? Can you leave your hands open? Can you recognize it's not mine? Can you recognize this belongs to God? Can you recognize it's His blessing? If He wants it back, I'll believe Him for even greater things. Can you give it back to God? It's not can God answer your prayer, because we absolutely know that. It's when He does, are you still willing to sacrifice? After He blesses you so much, are you still willing to go to the next level and the next level and the next level? And hear me, it's in that place, that your faith truly grows. It's in that place where you're able to truly work it out and allow God to do those insurmountable things that you never thought were possible, but He always knew was. Would you stand with me this morning? And Lord, we just come before You and we're thankful. It's through these stories that we see the hand of God, and we see the realities and the pictures of who God really is. And there are probably people in the rooms right now who are in the midst of a gap or a deficit in their lives and wondering, where is God? Maybe there's those in the room who've just walked through a deficit and a gap in their lives and can say, I saw God. Or maybe there's some in the room who will eventually walk through that deficit and that gap, and they will need God. But I think no matter where we are in that season, we all need to make up our minds now. God, I'm going to lean into You. I'm going to allow You to stretch me. I'm going to allow the uncomfortability. And I'm going to work it out, because I know at the end of this, my faith will be stronger, that I will grow. And God, whatever You choose to bless me with, whatever You choose to do for me, whatever You choose to give to me, I take it with open hands. I'm willing to give it back, knowing that You can bless me with even greater things. Hannah had one son. She gave it to the Lord, and that wasn't the end. She had five more. God, You're able to do greater things in our church. I pray for those in the room today that have had a stopping point in faith. That maybe the mindset is, God can't do anymore in my life. I've messed up, or I've given up. Maybe there's in that place late where some of us are so discouraged with where we are, and so discouraged with the things that we've walked through, that maybe our discouragement has been put on God. But Lord, I pray that the perspective would change in this room today, that we'd realize that God is not against us, but that God is for us. And we'd realize that God works all things out for the good. So Lord, I pray over Your church today that You would help us have a moment of examination. Say, God, where am I at in my life? Where am I at in my faith? How am I walking through the deficits and the gaps in my life? Am I trusting You? Am I open-handed or am I clenched fist? Help us have that moment right now in this place where we just ask You, God, where am I? Help me, Lord, to sense You. Sense Your presence in this moment and allow You to speak to me. In Jesus' name. Well, let's we worship You for a minute.
Even when I don't see it, You're working. Even when I don't feel it, You're working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, You're working. Even when I don't feel it, You're working. Even when I don't see it, You're working. Even when I don't feel it, that you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Truly is, and it's who he is. He wants to make a way for you. When you bow your heads with me, I just want to pray a closing prayer with you today. And I just want to say this, if you're in here today and you hear this and there's a deficit in your life and a gap in your life, and maybe for you, that deficit, that gap is just the fact that, man, your life is not 100% committed to the Lord. This is your opportunity to do that. I give you that opportunity that I can pray with you and just give you the opportunity to say, God, I want to fill the gap in my life. And that begins by just saying, here's my life. I want to follow you. I want to live for you. And right there where you're sitting, not to embarrass you in any way, if that's just who you are, you're at that place, that's the deficit you're walking through, I want to pray for you. And if you're here, can you take a moment, just put your hand up real quick so I know who I'm praying for. Anybody at all, thank you. I see that. Anyone else, real quick, come on. Your opportunity, thank you. Well, right now we come before you, man, as people that just raise their hand and say, listen, I have this deficit in my life, and it really begins with me serving you and living for you. And right there where you're sitting, all you have to do is say, God, would you come into my life? Would you fill the gap that's in my life? And he'll do that. Right there where you're sitting, Lord, would you come into my life? Would you fill the gap? Would you fill the deficit so that I can serve you and I can live for you, so that I can meet challenges of life with you by my side? And we pray that over those today who raise their hand and say, I just need that deficit filled. The last thing I'll just pray is this, and maybe you're in the room today and you're in the middle of that moment. I would encourage you that God wants to grow your faith. Work at it. Work it out. Hang in there. Know that God has something on the other end of it. And that all we have to do is commit to him, believe in him, stand on his word, and he'll grant you. He'll answer your prayers. He'll comfort you and he'll guide you. So Lord, I pray that over your church today. Whatever we're going to walk out these doors and face over the next so many days, Lord, I pray that your hand would guide those in this room, that you would walk before us.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
Answer our prayers. And whatever deficit and gap that may come into our lives, Lord, we can lean into you, knowing that you have the ability to grow us in the midst of it. So, Lord, I love to see a church of people with spiritual band-aids all over them, because these are areas, God, that you have grown us, stretched us, and yet made us stronger. So I pray that over your people today, may you bless them, may you make us stronger followers of Christ. We honor you. We ask, Lord, that you go before us, meet all of our needs, prosper us, and keep us. And, Lord, we say this last proclamation. Lord, help us to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways, God, we acknowledge you, and you will direct our path. And we pray that word over your church today, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen, amen. Come on, would you join me? Let's give it. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for being in church. Hey, we hope to see you next week, 10 o'clock. We're going to have one service for through the summer. We're going to have our summer kickoff, so we got things for the kids out front, hot dogs, food. We're going to have stuffy food truck here. Stay with us after service next week, 10 o'clock. Meet here, and we'll see you after church.